Port play GWS 4:05 at home Saturday. Looks like the top eight is shot. Our next guest live in the studio, Port senior coach Ken Hintley. Ken, as always, thanks for your time.
No problems.
Can I start here? We asked Jack Hompsch and Cam O'Shea earlier this week how tough it was to hear their coach say you crumbled on the weekend and questioning their effort. How tough of it was it for you to see that and then have to say it?
Yeah, it's incredibly tough because my team have been able to play with such courage in the first 2 3/4 years, you know, and that was one of the games, you know, I think it was my second worst defeat as a club as we had in my time at the club, just by the numbers. And, you know, that's really disappointing. I'm really supportive of the group of boys, but facts are the facts. Mm. We didn't play the way we had to play. We had 10 minutes in that game where we dominated the game, and you think when everything's on the line, you're entitled to fight a little bit harder.
Mm. You also said we've been tough on our terms a bit too often and not when it's going against us. What did you mean by that?
Exactly what the first probably 14 minutes of the game looked like, Bix. We had the game where we wanted to be. When it turned against us, you know, what we've been able to do in the previous couple of years has been able to get that momentum back. We actually haven't been able to stay in the fight for long enough and been, you know, dirty enough when we needed to be, and you know, we allowed the Bulldogs to get on top, and then they got their confidence, and we know their season's been fantastic season, and they grew with that, and we shrunk.
So why is that? Where's the grit that you know the players have? Why couldn't they display that?
Oh, I think on the weekend they got themselves in a position where the side that was coming after the game was trying to emerge it. Looked like a top four position for them, and our blokes just didn't respond the way they would. And it's not something you question them on regularly. You know, you say as a group, overall, over a period of time, they've really stood up for us. And you know, this year there's no look. We're not going to hide from it. We're very disappointing as far as the way our season's gone, and we understand that. We got to deal with that.
Mm. So, in short, Ken, what went wrong this year?
Oh, look, there's been a number of things, I reckon, that haven't been quite right, you know, and, you know, we talk about the external expectation, we talk about the internal expectation, we talk about the performance under pressure from the opposition, we talk about game style, so there's a number of things. So when you sit back and you collect your thoughts, and I think that's not probably the right time to be doing it right now, mm-hmm. You get some of the emotion out of it, and you sit back and go, okay, what actually went wrong? We haven't delivered on, one, the talent that we've got, and the execution of skill, and we definitely haven't delivered on the expectation clause, which is probably burdened us a little bit too much, and we need to learn from that. And if you're going to be any good, you know, we need to toughen up and handle it.
And we've heard all sorts of stories about it. We had you in here after the bye. You know, there was talk about, you know, turnovers killing you, no plan B, handling expectation, fitness and all that. But on the weekend, and we looked at it, Bix, Bulldogs on the weekend, a younger team by age and games played, but they played as a team. Last year, you put the all played well flag up every game, I would nearly say. You just haven't been able to, for whatever reason, play as a team. Is that where it starts and finishes?
Oh, look, there's no doubt, you know, because if you look at some of our individuals, and you know I'm not a talk about individuals, no. But some of our top-end players have had outstanding seasons individually, but as I tell them all the time, your individual seasons mean nothing if your team doesn't succeed, and the boys know that, but they also know that it takes the whole team for everyone to have a great season, and you know, we just haven't been connected as I said it early in the year, we haven't been connected as a team strong enough for long enough in games, and you know, we've played in a number of games that have been close and we lose them. That's because of that connection.
But again, why? Last year, on and off the field, the tightest group you'll ever hear. We get the players in here and they just, the team that played together stayed. Why, Ken?
I think they're still the same in that space, Rowie. Okay. As I said, they just haven't handled the pressure the way they want to handle it. You know, they're not going to back away from it themselves. Mm-hmm. They know that they haven't delivered in the areas that they need to deliver. And some of that is purely in the contest being tougher and staying strong in the mind. Mm-hmm. We just haven't been able to be that football side this year. We want to be. There's no doubt they want to be, but you know, at the moment and this season suggests otherwise, and we've got to own up to it. We haven't been as mentally strong as we need to be, and we haven't been tough enough for long enough.
What about people who bring up your form pretty much from round 12 last year onwards? You've won 14 of 32 games, and they say, well, look, where you are on the ladder is where you are as a club in terms of the form over that period.
Yeah, and I can't dispute it. I'm going to sit here and say, I've said it in my first year, get what you deserve, and we deserve to be exactly where we are. Mm. You know, we have been a 50-50 football club since midway through last year, and we need to rectify that if we're going to, you know, everyone wants to pump up someone who's emerging at the end of the year. You know, if you look at the game in the whole season, you would have said, well, look, we had a really strong front half. We did drop away in the back half, and we got our form back together. But I know our form's good enough, Bix, but our most recent history suggests that we're only a 50-50 team, and you can't be that if you're going to be successful.
Well, what about your message hasn't changed a great deal. You come in here and you talk after games, the press conference. So that hasn't changed throughout the year. So are the players responding to the stuff that you're talking to them about?
Yeah, look, they're hearing the message and they're unable to execute it under fierce pressure on game day. And that's the, you know, people always want to go, oh, are they listening to you? Are they not listening to you? Have you still got them on board? Look, I've still got these boys on board and they're still on board with me. There's no problems in that space. We're getting a lesson. You know, and you know what, we're going to school and we're getting a lesson and we're prepared to cop that lesson and, you know, we're going to do something about that the very next opportunity we get, and hopefully that's, again, on Saturday where we can come out with a bit more strength of the way we play.
Can we drill down a little bit more than that? Then have you and the other coaches been just a bit too stubborn with your game plan or your ball movement?
Yeah, no, look, everyone's said that right through the year. Yeah. Look, the simple answer to that, Rowie, is people see the things that they want to see when they're watching the game, and they watch Port Adelaide play at their best. They recognise when we've played at our best, but they haven't recognised the change of ball movement at times that we've had in the last 3 years. We have three styles of ball movement that we work with all the time, so we don't just live in the one world. Mm. But when you look at it, as you say, there's one. If they're not playing fast through the middle, they get in trouble. And when they try to go too fast through the middle, they're turning the ball over. So, look, I'm really strong in the belief of what we do, you know, and I'm not going to change from that. And I don't. Look, I'll say I don't care if people think I have to change or the team has to change. The team will get it right, and we'll make sure we do.
What about your defence? So that to me seems an area which has dropped off. I think you were top four last year. Yep. You're 12th this year. Conceded 100 points last year only twice. It's been six times already this year. Where has that gone wrong?
Yeah, and that's our heartbeat. Mix, that's where we want to be our best, you know, and I don't want to be our best at offence. Yeah, we'll take the offence if it means off the back of great defence. You know, and we've spoken regularly about we just need to tighten up our defence. Our press, you know, if you watch sides press and, you know, you've been around the game close, you know you get one or two people doubting what they should be doing. That breaks down. And that's what's happened to us. We've got a bit of doubt in our team at the moment, and that's about not wanting to let the team down. That's about just doubt that creates because you're not playing as well as you want and you're half a second off. Mm. And when you're half a second off in AFL football, sides get through you.
Is there a continuity problem as well? Your back six hasn't been as steady as what it has been in previous years?
Absolutely. There's no doubt that, you know, we've had Carlisle missing and potentially missing for the rest of the year. You know, we've had Trent go about for periods, Jonas. But if you go down the excuse basket, it's a poor footy club, and I don't want to be that poor footy club. I want to be a footy club that says, well, we've got a style that we play. Personnel certainly matter, but it shouldn't be the only thing.
What would or could you have done differently this year that may or may not have helped, Ken?
Oh, well, I suppose when you sit back, you know, there's not too many things that you may have done or did differently, and that's what we'll do in, you know, another 4 to 6 weeks. We'll sit down and go through, okay, well, let's, because that's what you do as a footy club. You do review all the time, and you do go back and say, okay, well, what did we think worked? What did we think didn't work? You know, there's question marks that you bring up because of our position and the way we've played, but we've got to go back now at the end of the year and go, okay, well, let's have a really close look at that. You know, where was our training at? Where was our pre-season at? Where was our in-season form? Where was our ball movement? Where was our defence? You know, and look at why those little bits broke down. And we'll look at that really closely, but we'll do that in another 4 or 5 weeks and see where it is.
Well, look at all your stats to round 20. Equal second for clearances, fourth for hit-outs to advantage, third for tackles, most accurate team in front of goal. I could go on and on about those. Very similar to last year. And I think, well, why have you only won 8 games? So which is the stat or what part of that is hurting you the most? And Bix, you had the stat there with the games that they've missed that were close. I mean, the Carlton game.
Well, there was 5 games you've lost by under 2 goals, but then I went back and looked last year and you lost 5 by under 2 goals last year as well. Yeah. So that wasn't dissimilar. So I guess,
I reckon that's a reflection. That number is a reflection of what we normally have been. Mm. We're bloody hard to play against.
Yep. Yeah.
And we're in a contest. We're not going to win every contest, but this year we've lost contests that we shouldn't. Mm. You know, we've lost a few games this year that, you know, you're sitting back and you want to be a good football side, you just can't afford to lose them, and we've lost those games. And, you know, you talk about the stats, you talk about the stoppage numbers. Mm. You know, we've got high stoppages in our games. Sometimes the stats are a bit fluffy.
Not differential.
We play the most stoppages of any team in the competition, not by choice. We're trying to make sure that's not our ideal way of playing football, but the opposition have a bit to do with that too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's what they want to do. They want to make it contested against you. They don't want to get into a free-flowing shootout. You mentioned before about some of your top-end players playing really well, and most Port supporters would know straight away who we're talking about. What about the pass mark for some of the others? Are there many others that have had a pass mark this year?
No, we talk in the facts all the time, and they would say that they've had up and down seasons, too inconsistent, and that's why we're an inconsistent football side. And, you know, it's that mid part of your football team that holds you together. And, you know, it's not your top three or four, because every side's got their top three or four, and it's normally not your bottom three or four, so it is that bit in the middle, and you need them to be really solid and consistent right through the whole season. We haven't had that, and they're the first we've met. I mean, we've dropped Brodie, we've dropped Tommy Jonas, we've dropped Gus, you know, so we've made some significant decisions at selection with some of our more experienced players who blokes we can't afford to have out of form, and, you know, they've obviously, and you don't make those decisions in a week. You know, you sit in there and you hold up for those boys and you hope that they can deliver what they need to. And eventually, there is a tipping point. We've reached that a few times with those boys, but that's a reflection of why the side is where it is.
The acquisition of Paddy Ryder, look, from an outsider's point of view, it appears to have had a negative impact on the form of Matt Lobe. How have you seen that? Is that the case?
Yeah, look, I don't know whether it's a negative impact on Lobe's form, but Lobe's form is down to the point that Lobe's probably won't play this week. You know, so that's another significant decision that we've had to make. But that doesn't mean we don't want Paddy and Lobes to play well together in the same. We think they will. But we've had, for one of a number of reasons, disruptions to the start of the season for both those boys. Yep. They just haven't got their continuity together playing well. And then they haven't got personal, individual form at the level they want it to be. So we've made a decision that, you know, we just for a week or two, we make a break from that and try and give, for Lobes' point, we try and give him a bit of a mental spell.
So you've dropped him?
Yep.
Wow. Your next year's plans, you haven't started. So you're not targeting coaches or targeting players.
No. We're being mentioned. Like, you know what happens? We've had those
linked to everything.
Have conversations at now at this part of the season for us. You know what? With our poor form comes a lot of speculation, yes. And rightly so. But, you know, how much is fact and how much is fiction is you know, there's a massive gap in what's real and what's not. And you know, we don't deal in it. We're not going to talk about it publicly. We're just going to go back and, as I say, at the end of our footy season, and that's our footy season. So we've got the Magpies and, you know, obviously the Power Boys still playing, and hopefully the Magpies will have a really strong final series that we can sit back in a 6-7, whatever weeks that is, and reflect on all that stuff.
Mm. Well, let's hit a couple on the head. Charlie Dixon, are you interested in him as a club? You can speak broadly, yes or no?
We're always interested in improving our list, and every club should be. Now, players of certain quality come up, you do have a look at them. Whether you're going to be involved with them in a massive way or not, you don't. It's not a decision that you make on a little whim and you go, okay, we've got some interest, we've got no interest. Yep. They're not the things that I'm going to talk about to you boys about whether we do or we don't have real interest in Charlie Dixon or whoever the next player is that comes up that gets linked to Port Adelaide. It's just not the way we do business.
Okay, well then, is this being reported correctly that your salary cap's 107%? Are you scared that you're going to lose a good player spat out the other end?
No, we've got really well-planned list management and TPP structure, as every club has. You know, you make some decisions at certain years to load up and you put some money into those years and then you take some away from the next year. So we're really well-planned in that space. We've got no problems with our salary cap. We like every club. We'll make decisions at the end of the year based on list improvements, and that won't be about TPP influences.
And we had a fight about this on air, but I'd hate to see Jay Shules get spat out the other end.
Oh, look, everyone would. Everyone would we'll be of the same opinion. That's what you've got to do. But there's, you know, there's decisions, and again, I don't want to talk specifically about Jay, but there's decisions being made by players and managers and also by clubs that are never always quite aligned at some certain times. Yeah. It doesn't mean they stay in different directions.
Yep. Let's talk about the next 4 weeks in terms of the focus. What is it for you and the footy club?
There's a style that there's a way that we want to be seen, Bix, and the way we want to play. And it's pretty, obviously it's pretty hard and pretty competitive. And that's typical of Port Adelaide. That's the way we need to play. Mm-hmm. That's the way hopefully our fans will turn up and watch us play on the weekend. You know, and they expect that and they deserve that. And the players expect that of themselves. So they've got to deliver on that. And me as a coach and our coaching staff, we want to play that style of football. We don't want to be, and we've said it before, we're not going to give up at any stage as a football club. Sometimes things get out of your reach and that's what you'd have to deal with. But, you know, you're a competitor and you're in a competitive environment and each week you play, you should be damn well competitive.
Does that mean, though, there is an opportunity to have a look at a young player who might be getting close and you say, you know what, this next 4 weeks we can put him in? Look, I've got two players and big forwards have been spoken about all year. Blokes like Mitch Harvey, Mason Shaw, are they likely to debut in the next month?
Oh, look, both boys. Mason's no, probably. He's been injured for most part of the year. He's had some troubles trying to get back. He's actually only played one game and got injured again. So he's a chance to play this week for the Maggies. I mean, it's just unfair to expect a play like that and push them into an
just
AFL game. It's just crazy. I mean, I'm not going to gift games either.
No.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and cop the pressure of, you've got to play young players because, you know, that's what you should be doing. You know, well, I've got to play players who deserve to play, and that's what I'll do.
Is there a positive for the season? give us some positives.
Oh, look, there's some positives as far as some of, you just talked about some of the opportunities that we've had to put some young games, some games into young players, you know, Cleary and Amon and Archie and those type of players who quickly, Colquhoun's got back from a knee reconstruction. So there's some positives in what we've been able to do in some individual player stuff. There's not too many positives about what the team's been able to do collectively because we sit where we sit on the ladder. So I'm not gonna make it out to be anything more than it is. But there's some players that have certainly improved. The Magpies have had a really strong season again, I think sitting third on the ladder. You know, hopefully there's some opportunities there for some young players to have some success at that level. But, you know, predominantly it's about our young players' growth that we get some positives from.
You talked about planning briefly with players, and we know the sensitivities of that, and there's even more sensitivities around your coaches and targeting coaches. Where's that at with you, Ken? Are you happy with what you got, or are you going to be like, every coach, looky-looky?
No, we, as I said, at the end of the year... You sit down and you go through everything and you go through a review and you go, okay, where are we at? What do we need to do? Where can we improve? And if there's some of those spaces open up, whether that be in a coaching part, a playing part, or a football management part, we'll be the first club to have a close look at all those things and see what we need. I'm really happy with the people that I work with now. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that everything's absolutely going to stay the same because I've had a couple of years where I was really happy with the people I worked with and
next minute, Gonski,
they got taken. So that's what happens.
Are you anticipating that to happen again this year?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I didn't anticipate it. Probably a little bit more last year. I was probably a little bit more aware of it. And, you know, the year before with Richo, it did come from sort of almost nowhere. Yep. So, you know, they're things that are out of your control, you know, and opportunities come for people, you know. Just as today, I've had a conversation with one of our staff, not our coaching staff, but a member of our staff who's got an opportunity, a great opportunity in front of them that they just probably got to take. And, you know, we wish them all the best if that's what happens.
Yeah. What about the health of the squad? We noticed that Travis Boak didn't train yesterday, and also Chad Wingard went off after the warm-up. Is there anyone in there that may have been nursing something that may need potentially an operation or something that you now, that you can't make the finals, you say, you know what, let's get them in early straight away?
No, we want to respect the competition and be at our best as we possibly can at both levels, and that's certainly something we're going to try to do. If there is players who have got, like Ollie Wines, we'll use that as the example, got a problem with his shoulder, needs to be fixed, he can't play, you know, we'll do that. There's blokes with wear and tear in our football team right now who at some stage at the end of the season will probably need some sort of corrective surgery, and we'll look at that at the right time. Unless they're at real risk, you know, and it's going to put their pre-season behind, clearly then we would make those decisions, whether we're contending or not. That's what we should do. No risk football club is what you should be, you know. And we've got you know, at this stage so far we haven't got too many of those issues. We've got a couple that are boys who are carrying a bit, and if something was to go wrong, well, maybe there's one or two that you might look at doing something with, you know, and that's just the way the football goes. Ollie 2 weeks ago, I didn't think we were doing that with Ollie, but we did.
Oh, Ollie. And Boakey, how enormous has he been for you? Is he right this week? I know he didn't train.
Yeah, no, he's right. Fine.
And Chad Wingard?
Chad's fine. No, Chad got through training. I think the clip that was on the news was Chad getting his knee maybe strapped or something. It was funny how we make something out of nothing. That's crazy. Yeah. But Travis, it was crook. I'll be honest. Travis was crook on Tuesday night. Didn't train. Good as gold. He's been at the club today doing his stuff. And, you know, he's a fantastic captain. He's been in great form. And, you know, he's one who can hold his head high.
Just another one I've been shot down with on air. Ken was, I think Wingard's got to get in through the midfield. He is, that midfield needs a different look next year, and he can give that to you. And everyone's saying, oh, why are you going to take him from the forward line? Robbie Gray moved in there and was the AFL Coaches Player of the Year. Can Chad go through the midfield? Would you do it?
Yeah, Chad can certainly go through the midfield, and we do a little bit.
Load him up a bit more.
A little bit more, potentially. Yeah. Chad's still only a young player, and he's, you know, he's got that talent, but, gee, it's a dangerous thing to take away a 50-plus goal small forward.
That's what Cam O'Shea said. He said, Rowie, shut up.
I think
Eddie... Mick said, shut up.
We talk about our competitor. Yeah. Eddie plays a little bit through the midfield, but I don't expect him to be a midfielder.
Okay, cool.
Look, I think we talked about maybe cloning him, have one up forward and one on ball. That'd be the
I'd have one at half back too if we could.
The last piece of the jigsaw this time last year was Ridey. You've got him. Is there another last piece of the jigsaw?
I think if you look at our group as a whole, I think we could have a bit more support in the big body stakes on the inside in the midfield. I think we could, Ollie's that, you know, Trav and Robbie and, you know, Brad and those sort of, and Hammer, those sort of blokes are that. But I think you can never have enough to carry that pressure. And we've had a stoppage season. You know, we've had a lot of, so we've worn those blokes out a fair bit by having to play number of stoppages. You're always, every club in the competition will always take a power forward, a power back, and an elite midfielder. Yes. We're no different. If they come available to us and we could fit them in, we'd be happy to have all three.
Yeah. Is that make it a little bit more disappointing with someone like Andrew Moore, who's a high draft pick? He's that model. He's a great size, big, strong body. You've seen him do it in finals last year, that he didn't have the year that you'd like him to have?
Yeah, no, he hasn't had the year. And, you know, he's one of those players who's just trying to emerge. You know, he's been in the side for a couple of weeks, probably go out of the side. And, you know, he's just battling with that emergence of young players. And they do that. And sometimes they're a bit older, and Moore is certainly that little bit older now that he should be starting to get hold of his career. And that's, you know, that's one of the opportunities. Young is another one. You know, and Archie's appeared this year. And, you know, I think there's some real excitement about, you know, those three blokes who could potentially come in. And I just talked about a big body mid. Well, I think we've got some opportunities in those three boys for one of them to own it. But right now, one of them hasn't owned it.
Are you filthy? Are you disappointed? Give us one word, Ken. You're always so calm and calculated, and we love that, and honest and straight down the line, but you must be just inwardly seething. Are you filthy? Do you want to just say...
Yeah, I do.
He used to have a cat as well, but that's gone. It's been kicked that many times.
So, yeah, give it one word. We asked Cam O'Shea that, and they couldn't come up with one word.
Oh, no.
It's more than frustrating.
No, I'm disappointed. Yeah. There's no doubt. And, you know, our football club's got an enormous amount of pride in the way we play, and we're not proud of our performance this year. And, you know, we've got to go back to work and make sure that we do something about that immediately. And, you know what, I'm not going to wait till next year to start that. We've got to try and start that again on Saturday.
And it will start. 40,000 we're expecting, Bix. We're giving away doubles all week to that game. It's twilight, a good time. It's GWS, an exciting team. You guys are still playing to the end of the line. The crowd's been awesome. I think you sit fourth on the ladder for most watched club in the AFL. A 40,000-plus crowd would do that. So just put a call out to the fans. Come on, front up. We're going to front up some... Front up!
Yeah, well, you have to. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to turn up and play well each week, and we haven't been able to do that, but we're not going to not try and turn up this week. So that's what our fans have been fantastic. They're a great group. They demand high expectations of us, and we haven't delivered on them, but we're demanding from them too the same thing. Come back and help us and support us through, because in any journey... Yeah. There's some ups and downs.
Yes, there is.
And there's a key thing about that. You'll be on the whole journey and you'll enjoy the journey.
And I wanted to say also, you're unveiling the Russell Ebert statue. Mm-hmm. Now, that's in the Eastern Plaza. The great man. How good is that? So he would be one of the favourites. So get down there. I think that's about 2:30, I think, they're unveiling that. But get down to the Eastern Plaza, the great man. Oh, you work with him.
There's no bigger person than Russ. And, you know, what a great honour to him and one well-deserved.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully all our people get down there to see such a significant moment for Russell and his family and for us as a footy club.
Four-time, eight-time, two-time, three-time. He worked with us for years. I love Russell. When he shook your head, has he not got the biggest hands in the world?
Thanks for coming in, mate. We appreciate the time you give us. And I think Rowie and I threw most of the questions at you that many people would like to know, and you answered them very well. So we appreciate that and wish you good luck for the last month of footy.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for your support. It's been a disappointing year, but hopefully we can get some little highlights in the last bit.
Ken Hinckley, our guest. Ken, thanks for that.